Amen. 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 Let's go to John 3. And I'm going to share verses 16 and 17 out of the Passion Translation. And then we're going to go to John 13, and I'm going to read 34 and 35 out of that same translation. But John 3, 16 and 17 reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." Amen. In the Passion Translation of John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." Amen. All we have to do, we want to know, what's it going to take to win the world? Love one another. That's all we have to do. Well, there's some other things we have to do, but we start out loving one another. Again, I'm continuing very, very, very quickly. I told you this year, God said to me, bumper crop, and we know it's a crop that yields an unusually, an unusually large crop to the point where you don't have room enough to contain it. Amen. And we've learned that, you know, while there's scriptures that support that, they also give us some conditions. For example, one says, you know, and it says in Malachi 3, bring the whole tithe, the complete tenth, into the storehouse. And God puts himself out. He says, improve me. You do that, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to contain it. But if you don't bring the whole tithe, he's not. See, some folks say, well, if you don't bring the whole tithe, he'll crack the window a little. It doesn't say that. It says, to me, when I read it, it's like either the window's closed or it's open. I mean, that's what it is. But I have to bring the whole tithe in there. I have to meditate on his word day and night and observe to do according to all that's written in it if I want to be prosperous and want to have good success. I mean, it's that simple. Yeah, I guess it would be nice if God just dinged prosperity and success, but that's not the condition he put in the system, because that wouldn't keep us on course. Because I guarantee you, if we could get away with doing anything that we want, whenever we want, and God would still pour out blessings on us, many of us probably would. Because there'd be no reason not to. So we have to understand that while Jesus did pay the price for our salvation, and that price he paid put us right smack in line with all of the blessings, all of the promises, all of the benefits, we have a responsibility. Amen. There's a way we have to conduct ourselves so that we receive all that God is sending towards us. Do you understand? Amen. Now I want to go quickly down to Ephesians. I want you to go over to Ephesians 6. We spent some time here Sunday, but there's something else about this that we want to talk about. I'm going to read it first in the Passion Translation, but then I'm going to go back and share some things based on the King James. All right? Because we want to go a little bit deeper. Ephesians 6, verse 10, the Passion Translation says, "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power." And we talked about that explosive power and what it was like. We said it's like that the little running back that picks up a head of steam and just goes bursting through the line, just pushing back anyone that gets in his way. Yeah. said, stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat, and that was important because we know that we have to get up close and personal with the enemy. You know, we have to stop getting upset because he shows up and gets in our face. We're in hand-to-hand combat. And what's more, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. So come on with the hand-to-hand, elbow to elbow, whatever it is. You know, it says it's not with human beings. See, our combat, our fight is not with human beings. So we have to stop getting upset with one another. Right. We're not the problem in that category. It said, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Verse 13. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you'll be protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. So we understand truth strengthens, holiness protects and covers. Stand on your feet, alert. Then you will always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, say in every battle. Take faith as your wraparound shield. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. And you need to understand, if it says take faith as your wraparound shield, that means arrows are going to be flying at you from every direction. And you won't care. You won't even, you may hear them hit, but it's not going to do anything to stop you. It says, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet, to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty, well, I want to go back there a minute. We all know that, you know, the mind is the devil's playground. We've heard that phrase. And too often it's true. But when you understand who you are and you understand the full package of deliverance, and that full package is sozo, it's not just salvation, it's health, it's prosperity, it's strength, it's peace. It's all of that in the package. And if you understand that, when the devil tells you you're not worthy, it won't mean anything. When the devil tells you you're going to die, you know you're going to live. When the devil tells you you're not going to make it, you know you've already made it. And then some, because of what God has said. You keep that truth wrapped around your head. It won't matter what people say. Amen? I used to tell, growing up, I used to get into a lot of fights because people would call me names. You know, they'd make fun of my feet and all of that stuff. I'm not going to tell you how I made them stop doing that. Okay. But they called me a name. You know, mommy would say, well, son, let's talk about that. And I'm thinking, there's nothing to talk about. When I go to school tomorrow, if you call me that name tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow. You know, that's, and if I have to get a whipping, then I'll pick a switch on my way home. You know, I mean, and she said, well, what they said to you, is it true? I said, no, it's not true. She said, then it doesn't matter what they said. She said, but what if it was true? I said, but it's not. She said, no, but what if it was true? They'd be telling the truth, so it doesn't matter what they said. She said, well, either way, it doesn't matter what they say. And I thought about that, and I said, you know something? That's a whole lot better than getting in trouble. And so I just realized no matter what happens, what they say is irrelevant because I know who I am. And calling me another name just tells me how ignorant you are because you don't know my name. And you're too dumb to ask me. And if I respond to what you call me, then I'm saying, yeah, that's my name. So I've learned that it doesn't matter what people are going to talk and say things. The enemy's going to tell us lies. We understand he is the father of lies. So when he tells us things, we should really get excited. But he tells you you're going to get broke, you know just the opposite is coming. It's take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. See, sometimes we think we're in a particular race. You know, we think, well, I'm preparing for a marathon or I'm preparing for a sprint. Be ready to go. Whether he has you running full speed, half pace, snail's pace, whatever it is, whatever that situation calls for, you be ready with that type of prayer, period. You know, we become too many specialists, you know, and they say, oh, no, I'm a travailer. No. With every form of prayer, if it calls for travailing, travail. You know, don't say, well, let me call so-and-so. She's good at travailing. No, you. All right. With every form of prayer at all times, pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. And we went over these things in detail on Sunday because we need the armor of God if we're gonna work the formula, decide, commit, succeed. But I found out that there's another aspect as to why we have to have on a complete set of armor. And so we're going to go back. I'm going to start again with Ephesians 6, but I'm going to share in the King James. Okay? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I need to understand when the King James says wiles, it's really talking strategies. I mean, the word means it's like a map. It's like the devil sits there. He knows where you're supposed to, you think you're headed. But he wants you to go in a certain direction. And he's going to sit down and come up with plans to get you to go in the direction that he wants. You need to understand that. He'll put things there to cause you to make a choice to divert your course so you get on his path and off of the right path. And when we have on the whole armor of God, we can stand against those schemes. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand is mentioned twice in those passages. Withstand is mentioned once, and they both have significance. See, when the Bible talks about stand, in the Greek it means to make firm, to establish, to cause something to keep its place or stay in its place, for you to be intact, to be kept intact, to uphold or sustain your authority or your force, and to continue safe and sound, unharmed. That means stand. The dictionary backs it up with similar meanings. To cause or to make stand, to place, to set, to put, to make firm, to fix, establish, to cause a person or a thing to keep his or her in its place, to be kept intact, to stand immovable, to continue safe and sound unharmed, to stand ready, to be steadfast of mind, to not hesitate or waver. So when Paul says stand, he's not talking about something that's passive. He's talking about taking an aggressive position and continuing. Where? In your commitment to God, in what you were called to do, because opposition is going to show up. And if you're not willing, ready, able, and know how to stand, you won't not only stand, but you won't be able to withstand so you can stand. See, because when you withstand, something comes to try and knock you off, and you start wobbling and wavering, but you do whatever's necessary to stay on your feet. You hold on. You regain your balance. You do whatever it takes, because I am not going to fall, period. But if you can't do that, you will fall. You will. So we have to be able to withstand so that we can stand. We have to set ourselves against what's coming to oppose. We have to resist what's coming to try and knock us off or off kilter. That's what withstanding means. We have to hold out. Hold out. We have to hold out against something or someone that's coming that's in opposition to where I'm supposed to go. We have to hold out against it and stay where we're supposed to be. We have to resist and stay. I'm going in this direction. No, I'm going. And you don't allow yourself to be stopped. You don't allow yourselves to be stopped. You're withstanding because you're going to stand. To stand, we have to be able to resist, oppose, and set ourselves against everything that's designed to cause us to fall. So it's very important to understand that we're not only equipped to stand against this, that we're only equipped to stand against the schemes of the devil, not the plan of God. You got to understand that. See, we're not equipped to withstand the plan of God, though we try. I mean, I can say my son says, it's truth be told. But then the question becomes, okay, since I'm supposed to withstand, how you do that? I mean, and I think that's a fair question. Look at James 4. I'm going to share it in the King James, the Expanded, and the Passion. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. The Expanded Bible says, so give yourselves completely, submit to God. Stand against, resist the devil, and the devil will run, flee from you. If you don't completely submit, you won't be able to stand and resist. And the devil ain't going anywhere. The Passion says, so then surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him. How do you stand up to somebody? Really, how do you stand? You know, like the hand-to-hand combat? You get up in their face. I'm not budging. No, you all know how to do it. Don't stand here and be all holy. You know how to stand up. You take your stance. I said no. What part of no don't you understand? The N or the O? Which one? All right. But it says, stand up to the devil and resist him. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not thinking that. Thought, get out of my head. No, I'm not doing it. That's what it's talking about. Folks, withstanding comes down to a simple choice. am I going to go with God or am I going to go with the devil? Those are the only two choices you have. We try and blend them together. We have to realize they're primary colors. Everything else is by doing unique things with those primary colors to try and make it something else. You know, we look for gray areas. Well, how do you get to gray? You take something that's white, take something that's black, and you blend them together. Okay. Say, well, this is a gray area. We've mixed a little right and a little wrong and think it could get it where you can't really tell, so maybe it's okay. No, it's wrong, and we know it. We need to look, either it's right or it's wrong. Done. Much easier. But look at Matthew 6, because you can't have both. And this is in the Amplified Bible, Matthew 6, verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. No one. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. You can't serve them both. So you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to. Now, in making the choice, you have to understand that when you're going to make a choice based on things that are in your heart, things that you've been thinking about, mulling over, rolling around in your head, things you may even have been secretly, as they say, experimenting, experimenting with. Let's see. Let me try. Nothing happens. You know, I have this saying, how do you know when you've gone too close to the edge? After you've fallen off. There's no other way. Because as long as you're standing there, you can, let me try a little closer. And next thing you know, you're falling. And as someone said to me, that's the fun. The ride down is fun, but that sudden stop just kills you. So you don't want to do that. So I got to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you right now, it may be uncomfortable, but I can't pull any punches. I got to just tell you like it is. See, we blame the devil. He's our universal scapegoat. You know, and I told you Sunday, you know, Flip Wilson is dead. Okay, so you need to let that saying die and stay dead, because the devil can't make you do anything. But I took note, and that's not just my opinion. I took note of something Jesus said, and it made me start questioning the, you know, people saying to me how, you know, the devil, what he does and what he can do and what he'll make me do. So I started questioning that. And then I read another scripture, and it was settled. Look at Luke 10. I spent a few minutes thinking about somebody to call. After one of the things, I read it and got a revelation and then wanted to tell someone. There was no one there for me to tell. So I said, I'm going to call my wife. She wasn't home. Luke 10. Now this is, I'm going to read verses 17 to 20 out of the Passion Translation. It gave it an entirely different meaning, and I got an entirely different understanding as to what was going on. It says, when the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name. Now, what demons were they talking about? They weren't talking about the demons from, you know, way in the past. They're talking about what was happening when Jesus sent them out. They were talking about what was going on right then, right there, right now. And Jesus replied, listen to this. While you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand. I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. He said, I imparted all of my authority to you. All of my authority to trample over the devil's kingdom has been imparted to us. He said, because of that, we will trample every demon before us. Anyone that comes in gets run over. And absolutely not, it says, and overcome every, say every. Overcome every power Satan possesses. Everything he's got, his entire arsenal, we overcome. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm us as we walk in the authority that Jesus imparted to us. So according to this translation, Satan sends out his demons to do his demon stuff. And when the demons were operating, they were operating under whose power? Satan's power. But now you have the 70 out there operating in the power that Jesus gave them. Because when you read before he sent them out, he said it gave them power over unclean spirits. And they started operating in that power, and it was like it was draining their power source to the point where he was so weak, he just toppled over and just fell. Because when you zap the demons, you zap his power. And he said, now you understand. And then he said he imparted all his authority to trample over the kingdom, all of it. And absolutely nothing will harm us. So that scripture makes it perfectly clear to me that the devil has no power to make me do anything. And he doesn't have any power to make you do anything. So why are we giving in to someone that's powerless to do anything against us? Why are we giving in? Well, James said something. James 1. Still in the Passion Translation. James 1. Verse 13 and 14. Listen to this. When you are tempted, don't ever say, God is tempting me. For God is incapable of being tempted by evil. God is incapable, and he is never the source of temptation. Now, we got to think about that statement. God is incapable of being tempted by evil. He's incapable of it, right? And Genesis 1:26 says we are made in the image and likeness of God, and that we've been given dominion over all the earth. So we're made in the image and likeness of God, and being incapable of being tempted by evil is part of God's image and likeness. Then why aren't we resisting the devil? If we have that same incapability, because it's part of who God is, so he made it part of who we are, and he never gives into it. Jesus never gave into it. So why are we giving into it? Jesus understood what he had and who he was. We have to have that same understanding. And we'll get the same type of results. So since we're made in the image and likeness of God, being incapable of being tempted by evil is part of that image and likeness. The reason we're not resisting the devil is James 1:14. Instead, in each person's own desires and thoughts that drag them into evil and lure them away into darkness. Instead, it is each person's own desires, own thoughts that drag them into evil. The Amplified Bible says, but each one is tempted when he's dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, and passion. See, the devil doesn't have the power to drag you away, but your thoughts do. Your desires do, your passions do, your lust does. Because you build yourself up in a frenzy and you just act on it or react to something. And the next thing you know, you're saying, the devil got me again. No. No. We didn't submit to God. Why not? We didn't have on the armor. Which piece? I don't know. Maybe you had your helmet off and you forgot you had salvation's package. Maybe you didn't have on the breastplate. So you allowed some thoughts and things to get into your heart that shouldn't have been there. Maybe you forgot your shield of faith and you were tired of being banged around because everything that should have been, you know, kept from you was getting through because you didn't have your shield on. I don't know. Maybe you lost your what am I trying to say? Your truth belt. Everything falls off. You try and run and you just fall flat on your face. Whatever it is, I don't know, but you do. And it's time we were honest with ourselves and took and checked ourselves out. You know, we're very mindful, you know, about how we dress on Sundays. We got to get, you know, got to give our best to God. Well, he said, wear your armor. He says, wear the complete set of armor. Maybe we want to sit and check before we hop out. But matter of fact, we don't want to ever have our armor off. You know why? How many of you know when the enemy is going to attack? And what direction the attack's going to come from? We don't know. So we don't know when to put our armor on. You don't. But God said, put on the complete set of armor so that you can stand. You can see when we're in submission to God, when we're in submission, everything that Jesus imparted into us flows through us unobstructed. When we're in submission. When we're in rebellion, they're blocks. And we're not thinking what God said, we're thinking what I want to do. And what we want to do doesn't line up with what God says, we start stumbling, and eventually we fall. And we go crying to you know, the elders or deacons after service, or you like me, and call the pastor, which I only did once, and I was going to do that again. Because Pastor Clinton told me, he said, don't you ever in life come crying to me about what the devil's doing in your life. He's supposed to be trying to do that because he's the devil. You need to start doing what God told you to do, and you'll find out you beat the devil every time. I was like, yes, sir. When we're in full armor, folks, that's when we can resist. That's when we can oppose. That's when we can set ourselves against everything that the devil is throwing at us. But if we're not in full armor, we won't. We won't oppose, and if we can't oppose, then we can't continue. See, we have to be able to resist so that we can move forward, so we can continue going in the direction that God wants us to go. It's so important, and all it requires for us is that we become monitors of our own thoughts. We don't put the shield up. We don't go like this to the Holy Ghost when he's trying to tell us there's something we shouldn't be doing, something we shouldn't be listening to, something we shouldn't be watching, a conversation that we shouldn't be engaged in, a political position we shouldn't be taking. Whatever that thing is, when the Holy Ghost brings it to our attention, we need to act on it because he's doing his job. He's guiding us into all truth. And if we want to stay incapable of being tempted by evil, like our Father, then we're going to have to pay attention and be obedient and submit to our Father's will. It's really not difficult. I was sitting at my desk thinking, why am I making this so hard? I want, I like, I'm entitled. No, I'm not. I'm a servant. I'm in submission. I mean, we sing that song, my life is not my own, to you who I belong. But see, we say, I give myself away, but then when something better comes along, I take myself back, you know, and I go another way. No, we have to stay in a position where we're safe and sound in our commitments to God without any despair, without any hesitation, without any doubts. And when we do that, folks, we'll make the right decisions, we'll keep our commitments, we'll experience the success. I'm done. I'm done. We are incapable, just as our Father is incapable of being tempted by evil or being a source of temptation. We can't leave that part out. Not only is God not tempted by evil, he doesn't tempt anyone with evil. So my behavior should be such that I don't tempt you to do anything evil. Amen. When we submit to God, folks, all this stuff comes easily. And don't think for I'm not saying that it's easily for me because I have to do the same thing everybody else has to do. You know, but when I'm sitting there reading these things and I'm like, what? I've never seen it like that before. But it's real. I'm done. I'm not going to get started again. If there is a part three, we'll come on Sunday. We'll see what God wants to say. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for making this thing so simple for us. Thank you for opening our eyes and revealing the truth to us. That's why we came here tonight. We wanted your truth. Thank you, Lord, that we, as we yield to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, he will show us the areas that need shoring up. He'll show us the things that we're doing that's not in line with your will and your plan for us. Even if they're not evil things, but it's just the wrong thing for us. Whatever it is, Lord, you show us and we'll make the necessary correction because we're getting this thing right, Lord. We're getting this thing right. We will have the spirit center for the nations. We'll have the singers and the musicians. We'll have $80,000 a week coming. We will have it because we will find ourselves always right smack in the middle of your will, holding fast to our commitments, and success has to follow. So we thank you again for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.